Hi there, it's News Talk's Andrea Gilligan here.
We talk a lot about health, but your gut is where it all begins. A balanced gut can improve everything from your digestion and energy to your immune system and even your mood. That's why Simproof, Ireland's number one for gut health, is such a game changer. And right now, for Black Friday, you can get 25% off their live and active bacteria supplement. Each daily shot is packed with billions of friendly bacteria that actually reach your gut alive and start working to restore balance where it matters most. No capsules, no powders, just a refreshing, water-based drink in four great flavours. Take it first thing each morning, 10 minutes before food or drink, and start feeling the difference. A healthy gut supports your whole body, so don't miss 25% off Simproof's 12 and 4-week programmes now at simproof.ie. Now, enjoy the podcast.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, many of you will have watched the presidential inauguration last week, and you get a sense of what Catherine Connolly is going to bring to the role. We expect her words and her actions will be a fair representation of Northern Ireland. But can you also get a sense of what the country is like from other aspects of the president's behaviour, insofar as what they chose to eat, for example? Dr. Elaine Mahon is a lecturer in gastronomy and food studies at Technological University in Dublin, the TUD, and she's looking at what we can learn from the president's inauguration menus throughout the years and joins me now. Elaine, how are you today?
I'm very well, thank you very much.
Is it a bit of a leap to go from what's on the menu to what kind of, you know, style of presidency and stuff, or what it says about us at the moment in Ireland that we can expect?
I think this is a really interesting menu, the one that was served last week for Catherine Connolly's inauguration. I think it's a very kind of interesting menu in terms of Irish food, in terms of Irish produce. I don't know if we can say that would be a reflection of what we might expect in terms of the presidency, but in terms of state hospitality, it tells us quite a bit, especially if we look back, over the century, the almost century of Irish state hospitality. It's a really nice menu for a lot of different reasons.
I was reading down through various menus, and you have to say you do get the impression that a lot of people, when they get elected, they want to put a stamp on what kind of thing to expect. And we'll get into them in a minute. I found the change from De Valera to Erskine Childers quite amazing now, to tell the absolute truth. Talk about making a statement. that is fantastic. But I was just wondering, when we got independence back in 1922, and obviously, the British Army and everything else went, did their kind of in-house chefs and civil service people that would advise, did they go as well?
Well, one of the interesting things about when we gained independence is, and it's interesting, this is one of the things that we were discussing this morning with students on our Masters in Gastronomy and Food Studies, is that when Ireland gained independence in 1922, we didn't have our own Department of External Affairs. Up until then, we'd been ruled by England. So all of our international relations took place from the Court of St. James. So one of the things that had to take place on gaining independence was that we had to establish ourselves and our own identity, our own diplomatic protocol. And part of that is diplomatic protocols for entertaining important guests who come to the state. And so in the 1920s, we didn't have a state venue, and under Cosgrave, they tended to entertain at Dublin city centre venues. The Shelburne was a particular favourite, and a variety of other hotels in Dublin city centre. And it wasn't until 1932, when De Valera took office, that Dublin Castle was both available and ready to be used as a state venue. So we do see a real change once De Valera comes on board and decides, starts to use Dublin Castle as the state venue for entertainment. And then we see the evolution as the decades go by.
It must have been a little bit terrifying for us, because like the English have left, but they're the number ones in the world for entertainment and etiquette and social graces.
I think I could argue quite successfully against you on that one. I'll tell you what we see, and it's very clear. And I think it's really nice to be able to point this out in terms of Irish state hospitality, is that there's a belief that, we were these kind of poor neighbours, or that we were kind of tagged onto the edge of Europe, etc., and that Ireland was a really miserable, place at the time. And really what the research shows is it's actually quite the contrary.
Really?
There was a huge amount going on. Yeah. And while the state might have had to set up its own diplomatic protocols and hospitality protocols, we were very much in line with international standards, and not just British standards, but actually the British were entertaining like the French and the Spanish and the Italians and the Swedish. And we see that across the board. So Irish officials of the time, you know, were, you know, they were well read, well traveled, you know, well, you know, they ate well, they knew their wines and they knew their food. And you see that reflected in the choices being made for the various menus that are served and that are offered to our important guests. So on the contrary, we weren't afraid and we were doing things really, really well on very much on the same international standard as our European and our international neighbours.
I'm very relieved to hear that. I have to say now that the vision of them looking around wondering which knife to use would have
on the contrary,
that would have haunted me. Thank God for that. We'll show them a few things. So it isn't until we have the first inauguration. That's Douglas Hyde is 1938, isn't it?
That's right, yes.
And you had a bit of a trip trying to find this menu, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. So this is one of the beauties of archival research. So my research took place in the National Archives in Bishop Street, and I probably looked at about 1,600 different files. A lot of them, a huge amount of them, had never been viewed before. And I was particularly interested because the topic of my research was, you know, Irish state hospitality. And a lot of them had, you know, never been looked at before because people back then didn't really think that food was that interesting, which is extraordinary when we look at how things are today, and even just the topic that we're discussing today, that we are interested in food. It does say things, and we, you know, and so there's a whole area, a beautiful area of study, you know, just waiting, you know, research waiting to be done. And Douglas Hyde in particular is a lovely example. It's probably one of my favorite findings, I suppose, when I was doing the research. So we know that all through the 1930s, De Valero, once he came to power in 1932, he decided that he would use Dublin Castle for entertaining, that it was going to be used, you know, it was going to be taken back, reappropriated, because it was a symbol of British rule. And then when Douglas Hyde became president of Ireland, and he was going to be a resident in Oras an Uachtaráin, which of course had also been, you know, the home of the vice regent under British rule as well. So all these, you know, ways in which British symbolism was being moved out of the way. And this, so when Douglas Hyde came into office, within the first year, he had established the four main elements of state entertaining, if you like, state hospitality. And that's official lunch, a first official dinner, a first reception, and a first garden party. And of course, a couple of weeks ago, you know, there was a lot of talk in the media about President Higgins' last garden party, for instance, out in Oras an Uachtaráin. And so for Douglas Hyde, he held a first lunch and a first dinner. And again, you know, in one of the files that I was researching, at the very back of this very thick file, there was a little envelope tucked in at the very back. And I wondered, gosh, I wonder what this is. And I put my hand in and I pulled out this absolutely exquisite, tiny little taffeta pouch with the most beautiful menu in there of the very first official dinner menu that was held in Oras an Uachtaráin. Right. And it's on white embossed paper. It's written in Irish. Absolutely, just absolutely exquisite.
I'm getting very excited now, Lane. You know,
that's the beauty of now of our archival research. But had never been seen before and had been put into the back
never
of a file, probably
before,
by some official who said, we'll just keep it, you know, just have it on file if ever there's a query about it.
Sure.
But nobody would have thought back then, and over the decades, it's only recently that food studies has become an accepted academic discipline. And so all that stuff would have gone into files. Nobody would have thought that it would have been absolute gems for somebody like me.
Yeah, gems for you and gems for us. And we're drooling at the thought of what it was they had. So Douglas Hyde had frozen melon and lobster mayo for starters.
So he, hold on, I'm going to pull it up for us
Go
now
on.
So that we can have a little look.
This is
so
the moment when you sit down in a restaurant and you look down and you think this is a nice place.
And you look at this little menu and you hope that you're going to find something absolutely exquisite. And I am going to just pull it up here. Just give me one second because I'm the vagaries of our computers.
That's all right.
Sometimes
See, get if
us
you just had it on a little tiny
no
menu at the back of a file, you wouldn't have this problem.
I wouldn't have it. Yeah. I'd have had it here. Here we go.
Exactly.
Hold on, just one second. So on this particular dinner, this beautiful dinner menu, the very first dinner menu that he served. So he had. Let me see. Hold on. Just give me one second. There we are. Nine courses long, printed.
We're talking.
Absolutely. All right, nine courses. So nine courses is actually a shorter menu than those that would have been served in the 20s and 30s when menus were, 13, 14, 15 courses long. So we see a reduction in the length of menus. So nine courses long, this little booklet on embossed matte white card with a gold harp and Ors an Uachtaráin thrown on the outside in gold in this beautiful Gaelic typescript. And then on the inside, you see the menu printed in gold, exclusively in French, which was actually unusual because typically menus at the time were printed in English or in Irish. They opened with oysters served on crushed ice with a little bit of brown bread and butter, and of course a little bit of lemon there or a note to squeeze over that. That was followed by a cream of chicken soup. Then they had salmon maître d'hôtel, which is like a savoury butter, that would contain parsley that would be served on the salmon as it comes to the table. Then they had côtelettes of foie gras. So those are croquettes made with foie gras and diced truffle, formed into the shape of lamb cutlets, coated in egg and seasoned breadcrumbs, fried in a little bit of butter. And after that, they had some spit roast leg of lamb served with a salade russe, which is small little dice of carrots and turnips and French beans, things like that. They followed that with an iced Mont Blanc dessert. And that's what would have been known at the time as a sweet entremet. Then they had a little asparagus croustade. So that's an asparagus on a little bit of puff pastry. So that's a savory entremet, which was very typical at the time. And they finished with fruit and coffee. And one of the reasons, apart from all of the above, that this is one of the menus that I love, but it's distinctive for us in terms of food studies, is that typically dessert was never mentioned. The word dessert would appear on a menu, but we didn't know what was actually served.
Okay.
And on this particular menu, we see that actually they don't say dessert, they actually say fruit. So that gives us an indication of the things that they're eating.
Right.
So that's important.
Well, I have to say, that sounds like a spectacular.
To food nerds like me.
Menu.
A really, really lovely menu.
Starting with the oysters, beautiful.
Yeah, crushed them. And the
gorgeous.
Very, really good Irish produce. I mean, brown bread and butter. Like, what's not to love on that?
Absolutely,
on that menu?
Now, I'm very wary of time and I absolutely don't want to miss Catherine's first one. So we have to jump from the very first one to the most recent one, if that's all right.
Catherine Connolly, yes, of
Catherine
course.
Catherine Connolly, down the years, we have to jump past De Valera and his potatoes. And we have to lose Erskine Childers and his absolutely
straight into November 2025.
Yeah, I have to say, Erskine Childers was spectacular. You'd know he was educated in a posh English school. No
absolutely
question about that.
Lovely, lovely menu.
Right.
But if we talk about Catherine Connolly's menu last week, it's a really nice menu. Now, one of the things here is that of interest in particular is the fact that there's a vegetarian option on
Very
the
nice.
Menu. That's quite unusual. And then tian of crab meat with smoked salmon, pickled
Very nice.
Cucumber, avocado mousse, very much in keeping what we see on menus today. I mean, menus have to be fashionable, like they have to reflect what's going on in the food world. Roast fillet of beef, very typical to have beef, especially Irish beef, on state menus. That's what was served to Queen Elizabeth in 2011. We do beef really, really well. Ross Lewis in chapter one will tell you that, and he looked after the menu for 2011 on Queen Elizabeth. So it's a really, really lovely menu.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Really nice. And I think that the diners would have been really, really happy with that.
There's glazed nice shallots.
Glazed shallots, chiffonade of cabbage.
Beautiful.
Who would ever have put chiffonade and cabbage together?
I don't know what a chiffonade is. I thought that was a type of jacket.
I'll tell you, very good. A chiffonade is you take a leaf of cabbage and you roll it quite tightly, and then with your sharp knife, you cut very thin slivers all the way. So you might have heard of like a chiffonade of mint or basil. So this is a chiffonade of cabbage. And so lots of really nice Irish produce. And it was probably all sourced at McNally's farm. You know, the Irish Times was talking about that, you know, McNally's farm only recently, where all good Irish restaurants and Irish food outlets know where to get all of the good stuff.
I think that's an excellent start. Absolutely excellent. Keeping up standards. Dr. Elaine Mahan, thank you very much for joining us today. Lecturer there in gastronomy and food studies.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
Hi there, it's News Talk's Andrea Gilligan here. This Black Friday, Mars Pharmacy is making wellness simple, and the savings are seriously impressive. It's the perfect time to look after your health from the inside out, starting with 25% off Simprove, the award-winning water-based supplement packed with billions of live and active bacteria to support gut balance, digestion and immunity. Because a healthy gut really does mean a healthier you. You can also save up to 35% on Zuki's liposomal vitamins, from collagen to vitamin C. They're your daily boost for glowing skin and immune support. And if you're plant-based, there's 25% off Dr. Vegan, bringing clean, effective nutrition with zero compromise. From gut health to glowing skin, Mars has everything you need to feel your best this winter. Shop these Black Friday wellness deals and more in-store or online now at mars.ie. Now, enjoy the podcast.